Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events may help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Now let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media. And thanks for downloading the podcast. It's always nice to see people checking out the podcast and making some downloads from wherever you can get it. I have it up in as many places as I can have it up, I think. as many places as will allow it, let's say. Oh, I have a great show planned today. I always say that. I don't know if it's going to be great or not. I hope you enjoy it. I sure do. This is kind of one of the fun things I do with my life is do a little podcast. And I wanted to say, there's a ton of people out there who are creating content. It's incredible, man. You can find anything you want to learn or study or get in a conversation with somebody about. And I think that's what's lacking today in the world, especially United States, is we no longer have conversations. You know, it's not, you just can't actually, you know, engage in a conversation with anybody anymore. It's just everybody shuts down so fast. It's incredible. But anyway, let's get through the intro here. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. I'm just a guy having fun making light of the darkness. Sometimes it's pretty dark, too. Hey, could y'all please post any social media sites that you are on that we are live here and we have a live chat room. Maybe we can bring people in, get some discussion going right here. I'm sure I'll say something today that people would want to talk about. Oh, and by the way, I have a beautiful sunset going on behind me when you get to the video of this. It was incredible. I mean, sunrise this morning, and I decided to make it my backdrop for the part of the show where I'm not showing any content or sources. Tomorrow, check in to Behind the Woodshed, another great content creator, at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. His show will be running right here on Real Liberty Media and then wherever else you can find it. But here, this is the place to be, man. If you can listen to Behind the Woodshed, that guy goes on for 2 hours. He's got some great information. I literally set aside the time to catch him at 3 p.m. Eastern every Sunday so I can listen to him, man, and hear what he has to say. And that guy talks for 2 hours, no breaks. I don't know how he does it. I mean, I would almost like to say I'd like to try it sometime, but I really wouldn't. I don't know. It might be fun. I could. I'm sure I could do it. No doubt in my mind I can talk for 2 or 3 hours straight. But, some of my other favorites out there. Tim Cast is one of my favorites. I like Cliff High. He's on Rumble or BitChute. I can't remember. I think he's on. It doesn't matter. Go look for him. Cliff High. And Viva La Free, another great one. Jordan Peterson, another. You know, if you can catch his content anytime, do it. A lot of these guys, you know, do interviews on other shows, and they're really good, man. Really good to listen to. And they're not afraid. They're not afraid to state what they believe and then back it up, you know. And I love that about those guys. BitChute is where Cliff High is. Thank you. Anyway. So the title I have up today is Lies Are Destroying the Environment. And I'm not 100% sure I will tie that all together because I didn't kind of make it the masterpiece of today's show notes, but it came to me as I was reading over what I'm going to talk about. That, yeah, you know, a lot of these things have to do with the environment. Maybe not directly, maybe indirectly, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's destroying the environment today, but it's not what you are fed day to day in the mainstream media, that's for sure. And I think a lot of what we hear in the mainstream media, although I don't know how many people actually watch mainstream media anymore, I don't think it's very popular. I think people are moving more and more toward independent sources because everybody's tired. You know, I have people in my sphere of connections that are extremely left-wing, and I'm sure there's some that are independents, and there's a lot of right-wingers. Everybody's tired of being lied to. And, you know, allowing somebody else to tell you how to live your life and what you're going to believe and how you're going to speak, you know, with limits on vocabulary. Now, how stupid is that? You remember the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Whatever happened to that, man? We have, you know, we have people in this world that get offended by the least thing that you can't even imagine people would be offended by, and they get offended by stuff. And then you have, you know, regulators that come down and say, hey, you're not going to be able to say this, that, or the other thing, or we're going to put you in prison. You know, we're going to put you in jail for misidentifying so-and-so's gender, because it's some kind of hate speech or something. Yeah, and I think people are just tired of it. The crazy thing is that right now, the people that are, what people are most tired of is sending all their money for fuel, food, and housing. And what's crazy is you have politicians out there running on, you know, the abortion so-called ban. That's, number one, not a ban at all. And really, when you look at the list of things that Americans are concerned about, it is way down the list, which is in some ways unfortunate. Kind of how we got to the place where we got with abortion. Anyway, I actually watched some kind of a short video today of a woman talking about that we ought to be able to abort children up to the age of 18. Now, I'm just saying I saw this short. I kind of wonder if it wasn't a spoof or something, because I couldn't believe this woman was saying it. And it was actually showing the reactions of other people who were watching the short. So, and, you know, people were just shocked, as you could imagine. Whoops, got a cough. Man, lately, the weather here, I'm not going to complain, man. I'm over complaining about the weather here. Blue sky and sunshine for weeks on end. And it's like 80 degrees. During the day, it's really kind of my perfect day, honest to God. Like, I like 80 degree blue sky, sunshiny days, right below stormy, rainy, you know, cold, windy, miserable days. That's my favorite. And after that is, you know, some blue sky and sunshine in the 80 degree range. And, man, we have just been, it's just, oh, my goodness. Anyway, it kind of tickles my throat a little bit. It's dusty. It's dry. I mean, we're constantly watering now just to keep everything kind of green. The garden is coming on strong. Like, there is a ton of, oh, I forgot to start a timer. That's okay. I'll live. The garden is green. I mean, the garden, everything in the garden is ripening like right now. I mean, we've been harvesting for, I don't know, 2 months. But now, all of a sudden, it's like the tomatoes that were green for weeks or months, are finally starting to ripen. And now we got to get those all processed. Today, Crystal and Whitney and, you know, the kids are over at the coast, and they're making some relish out of some of the summer squash and zucchini squash and some other things. I told you last week, man, we had this coleslaw out of the garden. It was all garden vegetables. No mayo in it, or maybe there was a tiny bit of mayo, but it was mostly not. It was so good. It disappeared so fast that, you know, there was none left. And we have some huge cabbages. We're going to make some sauerkraut because that's a good way to store cabbage. And, you know, what a great vegetable to have kind of in your pantry. You know, and that whole fermented vegetable thing, I've heard is good for you. And I haven't ever really researched why fermented stuff is good for you. But I just keep hearing over and over again, like kimchi. I don't know how many of you eat kimchi. I happen to like kimchi. I think it has a great flavor. It's really delicious, especially if you get a spicy one. But sauerkraut, I could eat sauerkraut whenever. I just love sauerkraut, cold or warm. I don't care. It's fantastic. But anyway, so we're going to be doing that at some point. And we got these tomatoes just like every day, tons and tons more tomatoes. And, you know, you got to do something with it. If you can't eat them all now, you've got to do something with it because it's going to spoil. And, you know, what's the use of putting in all the effort and water and energy into growing your own food if you aren't going to process it and keep it around through the winter? I mean, that's the whole idea, right? You know, and I've kind of heard some things about this winter, although, you know, I'm not going to be sold on anything until I see it. But I do have an article today I want to talk about La Nina, which is, I think, sort of interesting a little bit. It's one of those prediction things, which I think they don't really do a very good job of predicting anything. So let me just start this. I want to start this right about there. All right. Nope. Come on, baby. Yeah, I think it's playing. Sure it is. Yeah, it is. Okay, good. I think we're fine. What was I saying? Damn, I hate it when I get lost like that. I know I was talking about preserving food and, you know, putting that stuff away. That's a good idea. The weather has just been fantastic, although it's just so dry. I think I was getting around to, the other thing is the chickens, man. There was about a month there. I don't know what was going on in the coop. I think they were kind of molting, but not really. And when chickens molt, they tend to not lay as many eggs. But all of a sudden, like, the afterburners are on, and we're getting just like a ton of eggs. Now we have a shortage of egg cartons because we give quite a few eggs away. And that was the intention early on, was to be able to provide food for other people as well as ourselves. So we do that, and people are pretty good about getting egg cartons back to us eventually. But now we need them. We had to go out and buy a few because, you know, we had too many eggs. But that's a good thing, you know, and we're going to start, I almost said we're going to start sprouting chickens because, you know, I do like sprouts, but we're going to start hatching some chicken eggs and raising our own meat chickens, which is that mix of bird that we're going to see if it works or not. It's not going to be a full meat bird, and it's not going to be a full layer bird, so they're going to be kind of skinny, I would imagine. You know, we'll try and beef them up a little bit, you know, with hormones. I'm kidding. We'll beef them up a little bit and see if we can get some meat on them, you know, kind of overfeed the meat birds and see how they do. Hey, thanks, Cowboy Tech. It's nice to see you here, too. And Anti, thanks for being in there. I appreciate it. Okay, let's get to the notes. Oh yeah. Oh, I know what I was talking. I was talking about La Niña. Might as well start right there because this is kind of an interesting story, or not. I just find, hypocrisy. I don't know. Maybe it's one of my gifts is just to find hypocrisy wherever. But this story is kind of interesting. Okay, let's go over it. So La Niña has a 75% chance of raining through February, according to the National Weather Service's Climate Prediction Center. Well, there's a problem right there, Climate Prediction Center. A month ago, the center rated the odds at only 54%. So what they say is sea surface temperatures along the equator already were below normal and cooled some more this month, according to the Climate Center. Cool seas trigger La Niña. And then I had to stop and I was like, hey, wait a minute. Just wait a minute here. It should be virtually impossible for the seawater temperature to have gone down. Mainly because of all the hot air coming out of all of the climate predictors who are telling us how hot the Earth is getting. I'm fairly certain, based on, different experiences I've had around here and just in life in general, if I leave a vessel of water, a vessel of liquid outside in the sun, it warms up. I would imagine an ocean with the sun beating down on it, half of the day, more or less, would probably heat up. Especially if we had this disaster that everybody's talking about global warming. Well, I mean, the water can't be, I mean, how would the water temperature go down if there's global warming? Especially as I understand it, like right now, I'm watching the sun move, set further and further to the south every single day, which means it's getting closer and closer to the equator, and that's where they measured this sea, water temperature. And you would imagine if the sun's coming closer to the equator, it would warm up the water, right? Especially if we were in the heat of man-made or otherwise global warming. See, this is one of those things I'm sure I'm gonna need a greenie to come interpret for me. But if we have worldwide man-made climate change that is melting the glaciers and burning down forests everywhere, how in the hell does the warming cool the oceans? I won't hold my breath for a explanation because I'll absolutely probably my brains will blow straight out of my head if somebody tries to convince me that man-made global warming, which apparently has been the worst it's ever been, and it's going to create so many more and more intense hurricanes than ever, somehow managed to cool the oceans at the equator. And look, I get it. I mean, I get it. These things are cyclic. I mean, they come and go. But that's the problem, is you have one, major part of the population trying to convince everybody in the world that man is causing global warming and we have to be taxed to death and limit fossil fuels, burning of fossil fuels in order to get it under control. But here you have this, blatant example of global warming not doing its job. I mean, come on, global warming. I'm wanting to grow some pineapples for crying out loud right here in Oregon. So if we're going to have global warming, let's do it. I mean, look at, I'm sitting in the place right now where I'm baffled that Oregon has had the highest number of 80-degree days it has ever recorded, Well, since they've been recording temperatures, let's say, the highest number of 80 degree days in October. And I still don't believe in global warming. I mean, not man-made global warming. I understand that there are cycles that come through and you have ice ages and you have, you know, global warming times. I get it. So let's just live our lives and grow some food and, you know, continue on. Let's not pretend, you know, that man is causing it all. And then, I'm going to get off on a tangent here, but then, you know, when one of the shows I listened to this week was Cliff High was talking about energy and collapse of the, you know, monetary system, et cetera, et cetera. And he was talking about windmills. And he actually did a pretty fair takedown of windmills, like we didn't all already know it. A lot of people know that windmills are as bad as solar panels as far as getting any return on investment. You're never getting the money out that you put into a windmill. And then the windmills, we don't even have a way to recycle them. So those giant blades are going to end up in landfills somewhere. I don't know what they're going to do, if they're going to chop them up or beat them into submission or whatever, when the blades are no longer any good and when the motors are no longer any good. You have to rebuild the whole damn thing, and you haven't even gained back the money that you put into putting that windmill in place in the first place. And that doesn't even take into account all of the fossil fuels that were needed to, you know, get all those materials together and put together a windmill in the first place. And it doesn't include all of the rare earth metals that you need to make storage batteries for this energy when the windmills do actually make energy. You know, I'm also not 100% opposed to a windmill, you know, on your property, or maybe some windmills on your property or some solar panels on your property, but my recent experience isn't really convincing me that it's a very effective way to go. It's just not. And a couple weeks ago, a couple shows ago, I did it, I mean, what I consider a redneck takedown of the solar panel industry by demonstrating that there's not enough land in the United States to put enough solar panels to power every household in the United States. Yeah, it was crude math, I understand. I made some kind of large errors. Like I said, excuse me, there were 300 million people in the United States, and then made the assumption that every one of those people had a home. I get that. I know it wasn't the, you know, most accurate, but here's the problem. Like, even if you change those numbers significantly, there still isn't enough land mass to put solar panels up to power everybody. Not only that, you don't have the ability. Number one, you don't have enough rare earth, you know, chemicals, metals in the earth available to harvest to make the batteries for to store energy in. You just don't have it. And then you have to, when I say that these lies are destroying the environment, the parts that, you know, the environmentalists all leave out is that you need to mine this stuff out of the earth, and you need to mine like hundreds of thousands of tons to get some pounds of rare earth metals out of it. And nobody talks about that, which makes me believe, you know, that the people who are making, who are driving that industry, I assume that they know that already, that they're never going to achieve that point. It's just a way to make the rest of us dance. You know, they're the marionettes, and we're just, you know, dangling from the strings, dancing around, you know, paying our penance for, using fossil fuel, for example. But how much sense does this make? So you have what everybody considers, well, most scientists who've actually studied fossil fuels understands that there's probably not a limit to the amount of fossil fuel you can take from the earth. But scientists also know, because they've studied the earth samples and soils, and you know, geologists kind of look at all these layers, and they know roughly how much, you know, lithium is available in a certain layer of the earth. And there's not enough. So the people who are driving this industry, the people who are making everybody else do stuff to save the environment, they already know there's no way to be successful at saving the environment, and they must also already know that they are doing the most amount of damage to the environment. Because it's unchecked. Because everybody, you know, has their hair on fire to get us to green energy that's not green whatsoever. You know, it's a nice idea to think that the sun can, you know, provide all the power we ever need. Maybe it can. But we can't use it. Everybody in the world can't use it. And I'd be willing to bet, I just have this feeling, let's say they wiped out all but 500, what is it they want, 500 million people on the planet, is that their goal? Let's say they get down to 500 million. You know what they're going to be doing? They're going to be driving cars, fossil fueled powered cars. You see all those trucks going into Florida, all those power trucks to restore the power and put up power lines and put up telephone poles? I didn't see one electric truck in the whole line. There were hundreds, thousands of those trucks lined up to go in to restore power after Hurricane Ian. I didn't see one electric car in the bunch, one electric utility truck. It's a joke. It's just a joke, and it's sad. Well, one thing is, it's sad that everybody doesn't know the truth. It's encouraging that there are so many more people out with podcasts, with content sites, and thank God that we still have them. Honestly, I mean, thank God we still have a place to speak freely, because I'm sure pretty much you know, any of these sites could be taken down. You know, a lot of people can be silenced. Luckily, there's places like Rumble and BitChute, Odyssey, Minds, Truth Social. There's a lot of places that, you know, don't censor people for speaking the truth. And more people are looking for that. What I was getting to earlier about, you know, the two sides, you know, the two political parties kind of talking about whatever they think is important. What's really important to people is being able to live, man. You know, being able to provide for their families, for themselves and their families. That's what people want. People want to go about life, man. They want to go drink a beer after work and watch a game. Or they want to, you know, come home and tend their garden or mow their lawn or trim their hedge or paint their house or sit with the kids or watch a movie. They don't want to be worrying about where the next, you know, hit is going to come from. They don't want to see another item in the news that says, yeah, there's going to be less fuel available next month because so-and-so is either refurbishing their refining plants or so-and-so is not going to produce as much oil because, you know, you guys are dicks and we're not going to send you anymore. We want you to suffer. You know, people don't want to wonder if they're going to get if they're going to be able to get baby formula for their babies. Yeah, we'll worry about abortion, but later, man. You know, let's get some food on the table here. Let's make it so that I can actually drive to work 4 or 5 days a week and back and get my kids to daycare and afford daycare and get them to school and back and provide them lunches while they're at school. I had an interesting thought today. I really think school should, we should just be done with school. Especially, number one, public schools. Number two, colleges. There really isn't a good reason to make kids go to school. And I mean, even we, you know, Crystal and Sheck homeschool the grandkids. And I was thinking, you really don't need to. You really don't. I mean, I bet you could knock out about everything kids need to learn to function in life in about 2 years. You know, when they get to the point where they can really start processing like formulas in their head, math and science and, you know, history and grammar and writing, etc. Yeah, you could probably nail that in a very short period of time. And then, you know, and then let them go figure out, guide them, but just let them pick out, you know, what do you want to do, man? What do you want to do? Like for your life, let's just start working toward that. Not, you know, 100% when you're 7, but let's just start thinking, well, what do you need to do to prepare for that? Because I can pretty much guarantee you, except for a few very limited professions, you don't need school and you don't need college. And there's no sense wasting all that time and money. Hey, and maybe that's what we're getting back to. Maybe that's what's going to happen here. You know, there was a time when you just grew up on the farm. You know, not everybody, but, you know, there were some professions, there were some service industries that needed people. But, you know, a lot of people just grew up on the farm. They had their own thing, their little bit of property, and they had some either horses, well, horses are almost worthless, but they weren't back then. You know, horses worked. You know, now you have horses just hang out in the pasture and eat, and they don't work. But there was a time when, you know, you hung around the farm doing farm chores and learning about life, you know, on the farm. And if you wanted to do something else, well, then you went and, you know, you watched the local mechanic, you know, do his thing, and he did that for free for a few months or years, and eventually the guy said, here, you've seen me remove this valve cover like 100 times, would you just do it? Or you've seen me take off this, fan belt, would you just go ahead and do that? Or, you know, this guy, you know, whatever it is, you would just learn by watching, observing, and, you know, if there's some part of that, like being an electrician, I don't know, maybe it's important to know some theory about electricity. Honestly, I was an electrician in the Coast Guard for, I don't know, 15, 16 years, something like that. And, I probably, if somebody just told me, look, you know, don't work on any of these circuits when they're hot. Make sure the power's off, secured, tagged out. I mean, I probably could have done just about anything, you know, working on equipment, as long as there's no power to it. So how much theory did I really need to know? I don't know, but I knew it. You know, there's a ton of jobs like that. Do you really have to know the principles of, you know, how, you know, gas is burned in an internal combustion engine? You kind of don't really need to know that. It's good to know the process and which should come first, second, and third, and how much of each, you know. But you can start out real simple by just doing the simple stuff. See that broken piece on the front of the engine there? Yeah. Take that off and put a new one on there and tighten down the bolts. You know, torque the bolts. Or if you're going to continue on the farm, you know, you learn when seeds need to go in the ground. You need to learn how to harvest seeds, how to keep them for the next year, how much of your crop you can sell, you know, what to do with all the excess. Are you going to till it back in the ground, or are you going to make some, you know, some other use of it? But honestly, this whole school thing is just becoming insanity. You can't really send your kids to school, you know, in this environment where they're no longer protected by anybody, because there's been this defund the police movement, the no guns on campus, gun-free zones. You know, everything to basically unprotect your child happens in the public school setting. So why would you do that? I mean, I understand people are forced into doing it. They're forced into doing it because they have no other choice. They can't stay home and homeschool because they have to go to work. And they don't have any, you know, ability to pay for somebody else to homeschool them, because that can be expensive too. Man, it's tough. But I don't see a purpose really for going to school. Well, I've had this story up on my background for about 10 minutes. I ought to get to it. This is the FBI team involved in censorship of Hunter Biden's laptop. That team's been identified, but I found something really interesting in this story, honestly. Yeah, I'm going to wait for an answer on how, you know, man-made global warming is not, you know, heating up the seas. Anyway, back to the FBI. So what did I find interesting in this story? It wasn't really that they identified the team, which is called the Foreign Influence Task Force. Who in the hell would have thought of even making a foreign influence task force? Seriously? But I guess we needed one, especially about 4 years ago. Anyway, Meta, Facebook's parent company, identified the team as the FBI's Foreign Influence Task Force, according to an updated complaint entered late on October 6. Meta named the team after receiving a subpoena in a case alleging the federal government pressured big tech firms to censor users. And pursuant to the third party subpoena, Meta has identified the FBI's FITF as supervised by Laura Demlow and Elvis Chan as involved in the communications between the FBI and Meta that led to Facebook's suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop story. Mark Zuckerberg said that Facebook reduced the reach of posts about Hunter Biden's laptop in response to the advice from the FBI. Here's the deal. You guys already know this. Yeah, the story was suppressed because they thought it would affect the chances of Biden being elected the president, which, you know, now to me sounds like it would have been really helpful if they would have let the story out and just let him sink, because he is... I can't think of a worse president, honestly. I mean, Carter was horrible, but I think Biden has got him beat hands down. I don't even know what to say. I'm, you know, at a loss for words, which is almost never happens in my life. But anyway, this is what I found interesting. When she was asked, this head of this department was asked about goals for approaching Mal, Miss, and disinformation, Demlow said that we need a media infrastructure that is held accountable. We need to early educate the populace, and that today, critical thinking seems to be a problem currently, according to the minutes of the meeting that this woman was speaking at. Now, I've said in the past, I've probably said for some years, that the problem with the current education system in the United States We don't teach anybody to critically think anymore or think for themselves. You tell them what to think, and then you just ask them to spit that back out on some exam. You don't challenge them to go find knowledge about any issue that they want, although, you know, kids today think they're so smart because they can Google it. Well, that might be okay if Google actually allowed, you know, free thought and free expression and a equal representation of everything out there. But no, they don't. They limit searches so that, you know, the current ideology, the current elitist thought gets promoted to the top. So that, you know, you ask some question, the answer you get is the one that they want to hear back from you at some point in your life. Like, how come we can't cut down that entire forest out there and build a home? Well, you know, there might be a lizard out there that's endangered, and we can't just go cutting down those trees. Or, hey, how about, could we go out and harvest that corn that's grown out there? It looks like it's fully ripened. Well, no, we're not going to harvest that corn and feed it to people because we paid the farmers, well, not to produce any corn this year out of that field. So we'll just let that corn sit there and rot and people starve. Oh, good comment. Being able to read a schematics help. Yeah, that's true. Hey, but see, I mean, so this is my point. So the FBI obviously already knows that people are no longer able to critically think, but they're actually taking advantage of that because basically what they're saying is, yeah, we're going to limit a certain amount of information to go to the general public, because we know that right now it's really hard to find people who have critical thinking skills, which basically what they're saying is, we're going to tell the people what to think, and we're not going to give them the option to critically come to the conclusion that we want them to come to. We're just going to tell them the conclusion and not put anything else out there that might dispute that conclusion. You see what I'm saying? They already know. I mean, they've seen this going on for decades, just like some of the rest of us. I mean, honestly, I sometimes think I've lived in the most perfect time in the United States. I'm not kidding. I've seen some of the greatest advances in technology. I've seen some of the greatest responses to war and violence in the world, both positive and negative. I've seen people develop as human beings. I've seen, you know, I've seen the education at least in this country. No, I don't travel outside of this country. My rule is I only travel to places where I can have a gun. So if I can't have a gun in some other country, I don't go there. But I've seen people become dumber and dumber, and I'm not saying anybody in particular. I'm saying in general. We don't teach people how to solve problems, which is kind of scary, because to teach somebody to critically think means you teach them to solve problems, to look for other options to whatever predicament you're in or whatever you have in front of you that needs to be fixed, repaired, put back together, or maybe you need to save your life by getting across a canyon and you only have certain things available to you. How are you going to get across that canyon? Well, if you don't have critical thinking skills, you're not going to do it. But here the FBI is saying, you know, we're kind of glad people aren't being taught to be critical thinkers because now we can just feed them the information. We have them all on this great platform, Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, excuse me, or whatever other platforms there are. And we'll just feed them, we'll just tell them, you know, this is what happened is, yeah, he left his, he didn't, that laptop is a joke. Or, yeah, we're just going to tell everybody that, you know, there's some misinformation coming from another country about, you know, the president's son, that, you know, there may be something on this laptop, but there isn't. It's misinformation. It's disinformation. So just ignore it and go vote for the Democrat. That's what we're going to do as the FBI. More and more people are looking for the truth. And the good thing is, man, this truth is getting out there. I had no intention of talking about the January 6th committee, but I'm just going to make this side note. How did that ever even happen? It only happened because there's one political party who's in charge of everything right now, and they just put this committee together. They didn't challenge any information. Probably, maybe they can't. Maybe they're in that group of people that wasn't given the opportunity to be critical thinkers. So they just take whatever information was fed to them, and they just spit it out like, okay, all the idiots out there are going to have to believe this because they also haven't learned to critically think. So we're just going to pass it on, and here it is, you know. I don't even know what happened. I haven't watched one single part of the January 6th committee hearings. I didn't have to, because I already knew it was a sham right from the start. So, yeah. But what a joke that is. But the sad part is, you know, how many people are just going to fall in step with that, whatever they said, whatever they come out with? Because they don't have critical thinking skills. They don't challenge it. They don't go look for the truth. Although, I have to remain optimistic here. I really believe that people want to know the truth. And then they're going to have to figure out, from what they hear, what is the truth. But that's the point, right? It's like, use your brain. My stepfather always used to say, use your head for something other than a hat rack. I guess I have. Maybe. Like I said, I really like being where I am. Oh, I wanted to beat on California here for a few minutes. Because I was thinking a few weeks ago. Anyway, so the FBI team has been identified. But what's more important before I move on to California is, the FBI knows that the American populace is stupid. Basically, they are telling you right to your face, look, you're an idiot. We'll do the thinking for you. Okay. Let's move on. Hunter Biden laptop, nothing to see here. Let's go. So I was thinking about California a few weeks ago when California was thinking about doing something that would affect every pork grower in the country, and I'm not going to speak on that because I'm not 100% sure what it was because I didn't really look into it. But I would imagine it would be something like California saying, we're not going to sell your eggs in our state if your hens aren't free range or at least given 9 square feet of space with a soft, you know, cushy shag carpeting to rest their feet on and, you know, massage twice a day. I don't know what California did, but they basically banned eggs from being sold in the state that were, you know, raised in these, you know, chicken egg mills that are, you know, the hens are tightly packed together and they pump out eggs for as long as they pump them out and then they, you know, get killed and probably go into dog or cat food or something. I don't know what. But anyway, California was going to do something like that with the pork industry. In fact, I think the Supreme Court was reviewing that now. And I started thinking about California, and I was like, wait a minute, California. How do you get off even thinking about, even beginning to think about, you know, pressing your influence on the rest of the country? I understand you have a huge population of people that you have to feed and you have to water and you have to, you know, remove their sewer from and their garbage from and all that stuff. But, like, if you actually did a better job of managing your own resources, maybe then you could start, you know, preaching to the rest of the country about how they should do things. Like, for one, California, they use up all their water. They don't store enough to survive the drought periods because they don't want to build the facilities they would need to store water. So, you know, billions of gallons of water just run through California state and off into the ocean because they don't take it. They continue to expand communities knowing that they don't have enough water. They beg water from anywhere, anyone they can get it from. Then they try and tell the rest of the world about conservation. How about that? They also suck at wildfire prevention. It's a state that has those wonderful east winds that bring in the dry air at high speed, you know, the Santa Anas. You would think the state would take steps to minimize the damage. On the contrary, California does not maintain its forest in a manner that would reduce wildfires and the damage they cause. So how do you get to a place politically, environmentally, where you do nothing to prevent the damage in your own state, but you try by pure political power to force everybody else into doing something, like conservation, like not using fossil fuel or fossil fuel-powered power plants, you know, natural gas, coal, diesel, hydro, for crying out loud. Yeah. In some areas of the state, in some areas of the state, there is a lizard or reptile that has its habitat protected, the do not disturb type of protection. What this does is actually allow the reptiles to burn to death in fires amplified by those strong Santa Ana winds, so at least they probably die quickly. So does it make sense at all to say that you're not going to, you can't disturb any of this ground cover, this debris from trees, you know, branches that have died, twigs that have fallen, pine cones, etc., that's on the forest floor. You can't disturb it because we have to protect this lizard that's endangered. And then, you know, a forest fire comes through and burns up their entire habitat and probably the very lizards that they were trying to protect. But they do have a lot of influence, you know. That's what a few million people in your state will do, is buy you a bunch of influence. Yeah, I don't like California. I think that, you know, I've never liked them, honestly. And I lived there for the first, 12 years of my life. I don't remember part of it, obviously. Oh my God, what do I have? I have 5 minutes. We're going to burn through this story because I want you to absolutely want you to hear this story, because I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you all run to the bathroom, open your mouth, and look at your teeth. Okay, maybe not. I'm getting squirrely here. Look at this. Popular athletic clothing brands have high levels of hormone-disrupting chemical, BPA, watchdog group says. Okay, I got to read carefully because if I try and read fast, I'm going to mess this all up. Okay, sports bras and athletic shirts made of some of the major sports brands were found to contain dangerous levels of the estrogen-mimicking chemical, I call it bisphenol, but some people call it bisphenol, but bisphenol A, also commonly known as BPA. posing a considerable risk to people's health, according to legal notices sent by the Center for Environmental Health. An endocrine-disrupting chemical that upsets the body's functioning through blocking or mimicking hormones is linked to the development and health problems, mostly for young children. So your young children are putting on these, Nike shirts and their favorite basketball, football team, and probably playing sports in school. They're wearing these clothes that have this BPA in it. Bisphenol A is what I call it. While experts have connected BPA to obesity, diabetes, ADHD, and other ailments, with more research pending on the definitive conclusions, investigations by the agency have discovered BPA in polyester-based clothing with spandex, including socks made for infants. Even low levels of exposure during pregnancy have been associated with a variety of health problems in offspring, said Dr. Jimena Diaz-Leyva, science director at CEH, in the press release. The resultant abnormal developmental growth can increase the likelihood of developing breast or ovarian cancer later in life. The proposed maximum allowable dose for BPA is 3 micrograms per day, according to a report by California Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment. This could mean that some of the branded clothing exposes its wearers to about 66 micrograms daily based on this assessment. But now listen, because there's a lot of things that BPA's been identified as causing potential problems. And oh, my time is ticking, isn't it? Oh, I got a minute. Oh, I got 3 minutes. Okay, but this is what I really wanted to share with you. Is you remember way back when somebody put out that study on mercury fillings, and they called them mercury fillings, not silver fillings, which is the most highest composition in the filling, but mercury fillings because they contain some mercury, which I agree is a bad thing, right? And people would come to the dentist and they would say, hey, I got to get these mercury fillings out of my teeth. And I'd be like, okay, what would you like me to put in your tooth? Because, I mean, back in the day, you didn't have many choices, right? And they were like, oh, I want that white filling material. And I'd be like, oh, okay. Well, what's in that stuff? They didn't know. And I would say back then, yeah, probably just a matter of time before we figure out what's in that stuff. I mean, we all knew what was in that stuff, right? Like in dental school, you have to know every single, you know, chemical you use in the human body, what it's composed of. Dental materials class, it goes on for years. It's like 2 years long, I don't know. And you have to know every single thing. But so from this dentistry site, it's called Green Dentistry, which I was so happy to find this dental site. Because I knew this was out there and I wanted to share it with you. It says bisphenol A release, a survey of the composition of dental composite restorations published in the Open Dentistry Journal, the authors write that BPA is an endocrine disruptor with potential toxicity in vitro and in vivo, that means outside of the body and in the body, or live and not live. Among other effects, it can cause changes in the structure of unborn children's mammary glands, promoting further tumor development, and it has effects on the brain and behavior, the female reproductive system, and metabolism and obesity. Listen, obesity. While bisphenol A isn't directly used in composite dental fillings, like I don't know why they would say that, according to the Open Dentistry Journal article, its derivatives are routinely discovered in material samples. Fortunately, not all composite resins are created using BPA derivatives, and there are many holistic alternatives that can be used for our patients here at Green Dentistry. So, I said, 4 seconds left. I will finish this in the next show. Thanks for joining me today. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.